For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to the Fantasy NBA Today podcast.
What's happening, everybody? Welcome to this Wednesday, days of the week. Who needs them? Edition, Fantasy NBA Today. I need to relight the fire. We're so close to the end of the season. And, you know, for roto leagues, this is a time when you really want to hunker down, but it's, you know, it's less so about the sort of day-to-day insanity on the roto side, and it's more about isolating the key stats you need. So it's a really different process in roto right now. And then, of course, head-to-head, we have our second show every day where we break down who you're streaming, whatever. I'm trying to figure out a way to synthesize this. And the best thing I've come up with so far is doing these back-to-back shows. But if something else pops into my dome, we'll try to do that. Also, working on a side project right now where I'm hoping I can catalog my feelings on basically every fringe fantasy player in the NBA. And there's a lot of them. There's like probably 100. So it's going to take a minute, but I feel like that would be a really cool way for people to be able to sort of refer back. Oh, what did Dan think about this particular fringy guy? Is this a guy that Dan's high on? Is he low on? You guys don't have to, and I, you know, me repeating myself is also part of this equation. That maybe comes off the table as well. Follow me on Twitter at Dan Vespers. If you're watching on social, pretty easy. You just hit the button. If you're watching anywhere else or listening somewhere else, it's at DanBesBris. This, of course, is a Sports Ethos presentation where the Fantasy Baseball Draft Guide is available now. Make sure to go get yourself a copy of that on the Fantasy Pass, Baseball Fantasy Pass, or All Sport Today. Yesterday was a short card. We'll move our way through it methodically. Couple of teams I do want to kind of stop and freeze on for a minute. Houston is not really one of them, but there are a couple of quick notes on the Rockets. Note number one, Jalen Green in the month of March has now officially become a thing. If it wasn't before, it is now. He's going crazy this month, and he sort of, I say historically, he hasn't been in the NBA all that long, but historically, he has been very good at the tail ends of seasons, and it's very strange. How does mentally, what's going into this process that makes him a different player when the end is in sight? It's almost like he's done getting out of his own way. So to that end, this is probably one of those rare times where I'd say go ahead and play the hot guy. Normally, you know, I like to avoid streaming a player who's just sort of running hot, but it does feel like Jalen Green can just be it in March. Maybe April too. Amen Thompson. He slid into a role that we always wanted him to, which is the minutes that Alperen Şengün left by the wayside. Rockets have definitely opted to go small. Yeah, they've won a few games in a row here, so they're feeling better about themselves. And there are a few things happening on that front. They won actually six games straight. They're now only 2.5 back of the Warriors, interestingly enough. But it's also worth pointing out that, you know, a win over the Wizards is not exactly something to write home about, and they have two of those during this six-game win streak. Also, wins over the Spurs and the Blazers. So four of the six wins have come against teams that are actively trying to lose basketball games. They also beat the Cavs, who basically haven't had half of their starting lineup, and they beat the Kings. That was a pretty good win. So, you know, credit to the Rockets. They're beating the teams they're supposed to, but also these are some really bad teams. When they get challenged with this lineup, I'll be curious to see what happens next. They've got the Bulls coming up. That'll be a semi-challenge. But then they've got the Jazz and the Blazers again before the schedule gets a little bit tougher. They actually still have three games left with the tanking Utah Jazz. But basically every other game besides that is going to be against pretty good teams. I think there's one more Blazers game down the line also. So that'll be an interesting test for the Rockets. We'll see how they perform in that situation. Fantasy-wise, Amen Thompson, obviously just a massive, massive win. He didn't play great the first game or two when Şengün went down, but it was so clear that those minutes were going to eventually land on him. Should Cam Whitmore reappear at some point, we'll want to take a look in his direction. I don't think you have to preempt that, and you certainly wouldn't drop Thompson for any reason on that front. And then you've got Jock Landale, who came in off the bench and blocked seven shots in 20 minutes. 20 minutes ain't enough. You know, as much as I love the seven blocks, 20 minutes isn't enough. And we do this thing in fantasy where we only look at the last game a player played and then try to make a call based on that alone. And for Landale, you know, the first game when Şengün went down, what did he play? 26 minutes. He had 11, 4, and 5 with two steals and a block. And then he basically did nothing for two games. And then he had this seven block, massive, massive outlier. I think you guys know what to do with outliers, but just in case, watch list. You don't need to go any farther than that. Wizards, on the other hand, are an interesting bunch right now. So Kyle Kuzma was not on the injury report immediately after the last ball game where he was out, and then he got re-added to it, I think, late on Monday, dealing with that sore shoulder. I don't think he's totally done for the year. I think if he was done for the season, they'd just come out and say it. There's sort of no reason not to. You're the Wizards. You're losing a lot of basketball games. But I have also no idea when he may reappear. That's the problematic side of this. Also, Tyus Jones doesn't sound like he's close to coming back. Marvin Bagley doesn't sound like he's close to coming back. Denny Avdia, I don't really know. So the Wizards have basically wiped out their starters. Pretty much all of them. If you consider Jordan Poole a bench player now who moves back into the starting five. So, all of a sudden, you have a completely different Wizards roster. When I did yesterday's podcast, Kuzma was not on the injury report. So, most of what I said was like, look, if Kuz comes back, he takes 22 shots off of these guys. And then, you know, Justin Champagny and Patrick Baldwin and Anthony Gill and Jared Butler, and like all these guys that got a bunch of extra things to do yesterday probably weren't going to get all of those extra things to do. But then Kuzma got re-added to the injury report, ended up getting ruled out, and they all did get all these things to do. So we kind of have to have two parallel paths for the Wizards in terms of how we react going forward. If you're on the head-to-head side, they don't have a particularly good schedule. They play tomorrow, they play Saturday. Just two games left the rest of this week. There are a lot of teams left that have three games. We talked about it on yesterday's streaming show. I think there are 22 teams yesterday that still had three games left in the week. That number goes down a little bit after last night, but still quite a few remaining. So if you're making a move, you're probably going to somebody that has three games left. If you're on the roto side and you're stat hunting, there are a few names to keep in sort of the back of your mind. Name number one is a guy we've talked about for a while. That's Corey Kispert, who's going to score. And I don't know what's going on with his free throw stroke lately, but he's going to hit a bunch of three-pointers, and usually he'll get you a couple of rebounds, a couple of assists. If he's out there for 35 minutes, he'll probably sort of bungle his way into a steal. Not exactly his thing, but the minutes are so high, that type of stuff will often happen. So I'm going to hold on to Corey Kispert, despite yesterday's game being relatively quiet. Rashawn Holmes belongs on rosters right now. He's not going particularly high usage, which is a little bit of a shame given the dudes around him don't exactly deserve it more than he does, but 26 minutes or more for Holmes, that's a top 100 play. Historically, even though he's, you know, very much, very clearly lost a step over the last couple of seasons. 12-9, a steal and a block. He's also a good percentages guy from the center spot. It's very easy to put up fantasy stats when you're a center who has good percentages. Then you get into some of these no-namers. Well, Jordan Poole, you're starting because the usage is just going to be astronomical while he's kind of the last man standing. But then you get into all these relative no-namers who have suddenly stepped into much larger roles. Those guys are Johnny Davis, who played 27 minutes and did absolutely nothing with it, so that's an easy don't need to add. Patrick Baldwin, who actually looked pretty good in the previous game, but his minutes got shaved back down to 21 in this one. Fantasy line was fine, but unspectacular. Watch list on Baldwin. Jules Bernard had 16 points in 19 minutes off the bench. Someone to keep a very, very soft eye on. Same story for Anthony Gill, who had a pretty good bench line, but the minutes weren't high enough. And then you get to the two guys that probably deserve the hardest look of all these kind of new to the equation players, Jared Butler and Justin Champagne. Butler took 19 shots in his 31 bench minutes yesterday, the second highest usage on the team behind Jordan Poole. Ended up with 15 points on 19 shots, 9 assists, though, a steal and a block. And so the question then becomes, is this a guy that they start to make, well, just the replacement point guard? And the answer is, we don't really know yet. We don't really know yet, because his minutes have been higher for two games, really. Well, three, kind of. Slowly ramping up. In the previous two games, he played 22 minutes apiece and had a total of 13 points and 7 assists. And then yesterday, all of a sudden, out of nowhere, 19 shots in 31 minutes, 15 and 9. I don't think you need to race out and add Jared Butler. I think you should probably call him a strong watch list in case this is the type of thing that sticks. And then Justin Champagne, who is clearly the closest out of all of these guys to having a more consistent level of fantasy production, played 36 and now 31 minutes in his last two ball games with all of these guys out. Now, if Avdija or Kuzma comes back, I don't think you can reliably say, oh yeah, Champagne's going to get 30 plus minutes. But in these two games, he's gone 9 for 20 shooting, which isn't bad. 8 of 8 at the free throw line. That's good. 16 rebounds, 4 steals over those ball games. That stuff feels somewhat repeatable if the minutes stay high. I think if you're looking at Champagne from a head-to-head standpoint, it's almost too hard to make that call because their schedule isn't good. They play on all the high-traffic days next week and none of the low-traffic days. And we don't know if Kuzma and Avdija are coming back at any point. So that makes it really hard to make that call. For Roto, you know, if you have dead weight, you could pick up Champagne, stick him on your bench, and just kind of see how the next game or two goes. I don't know that I would just immediately drop him in. Sacramento should be a relatively high-scoring game. Toronto, they're in sort of relative tank mode these days. If everybody remains out, would I have the stones to play him against a games cap in their next ball game? Probably not. Although you guys know me, I tend to be a bit more conservative using up stuff against the games cap. But that's where I sit. Kill me if you like. Charlotte, I don't care about the schedule stuff. We'll talk about that on the second half, our other show later on today. As far as, you know, Roto, who do you play against the games cap? Miller, Bridges, Mann, Micić. All four of those guys have been solid against the games cap lately. Mann is going to be your closest to dropping out because of the holes he has in his fantasy game. Nick Richards remains in the doesn't matter grouping, you know, between 100 and 150.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Yeah. Grant Williams has finally cooled off. Kind of knew that was coming. He's also, in my eyes, in that doesn't matter grouping. And with Trey Mann back, that hurts Williams. I think Grant still probably plays enough to have some fantasy value, but inconsistent and also kind of a weird fantasy game. Jalen Suggs has been playing well lately. And look, I mean, we know about enough about the Jalen Suggs experience this year to know that, number one, he is an outstanding real-life defender. And number two, he's had these stretches where he's run very hot, and then he's had stretches where he runs very cold. It's hard to isolate them or to know when they stop and when they end. Right now, he's in the midst of about a three-week heater. He's shooting almost 60% over that run. And when he shoots the ball well, when the field goal percent is not a giant negative, the defensive stats carry him through. So right now, Jalen Suggs, I think we can officially upgrade from doesn't matter range or schedule range to a play. Because the defensive stats are back. It seems like he's got his legs back underneath him. He's just playing really well right now. And, you know, it's not going to be every single ball game is a winner. But if you look at his recent performance, he shot over 50% in three of his last four ball games. He had a couple games where he was injured prior to that. But even before that, he had shot over 50% in seven consecutive ball games. This is after a stretch in the middle of the season where he shot under 50%, like 80 to 90% of the time for almost 2 months. So his rostership is going back up. He's always been a great steals guy. That's been the case all season long. And he's pushed himself back up to a start. So go ahead and start Jalen Suggs, see how long this heater goes. At some point, it will run out, and we want to be careful about it. But there's only, what, 3.5 weeks left in the season anyway? So, you know, maybe it lasts the rest of the way. I don't know. Honestly, it's just nice to have something to talk about on the Magic, fantasy-wise. The Pelis. Man, it is hard to hang on to Jonas Valanciunas right now. I don't know if you can. I mean, you kind of have to. This is a hard one for me to talk about because I was in fade mode on Valanciunas during draft season. If you guys remember way back when, I basically just said I didn't want to draft him. He's still number 86 on a per-game basis on the season, but that's largely because the first 2.5, 3 months this year, he was very, very good. And during that stretch, I was like, good Lord, did I really whiff this hard? Was JV like the man, and I had no idea. And as it turns out, no, he is not the man. He was just running crazy heavy for a while. The Pelicans are finally kind of rotating into a little bit more of a small ball situation. They'll play Nance at center when they need some defense. They'll play Zion at center when they need some offense. They just haven't needed JV lately. And for the better part of a month and a half now, he's been sitting close to the edge of the back of like the top 175. That's a hard player to hold on to. And I don't think you really have to. I traded for him. I think I mentioned this on a previous show. I traded for him in one league where I desperately needed big man stats, field goal percent, rebounds, basically. So I'm going to hang on to him there. And I think in a lot of spots you can hang on, and at some point they'll have a game where they need Valanciunas to play big. But right now they don't. Herb Jones is healthy again. Trey Murphy's been running warm, not as much in this ball game, but you hold right now. Najee Marshall's been getting an uptick in playing time. Nance is healthy. That's a big one for JV. So very, the softest of hold recommendations on Valanciunas right now. The softest of hold recommendations. But again, I drafted him in precisely zero leagues. I'm in 8 Yahoo Cash leagues. I'm in a couple of others. I'm in about 10-ish this year. I drafted Valanciunas in none of them. He was an avoid guy for me, and it's finally looking like that's the case, although, first 3 months, not so much. Anyway, so it's hard for me to put myself in your shoes, but I think I would probably try to hang on just a little bit longer, even if it's very complicated. You guys know me. I love Larry Nance Jr. I've been tricked so many times on the Nance thing. I can't do it, guys. I can't do it. He needs about 23, 24 minutes to be a consistent fantasy player, and he's gotten that in 4 of his last 5 ball games, but he had only gotten that one time in the previous 7. he's on a stretch right now where they're leaning into his skill set. Some of it's opponents, some of it's just lineups and whatever. I can't do it, guys. I can't do it. They play on the off days next week, meaning the light days. So to that end, like head-to-head side, he makes more sense. Roto, I can't do the Nance thing again. Brooklyn's terrible. They've been so terrible for so long. They thought a coaching change would magically fix it. It didn't. They're just bad. They're a bad basketball team. They're 4.5 games still back of the Atlanta Hawks, who don't have Trae Young, and the Nets are so bad that they can't catch them. We are now finally to the point where people are like, should I abandon ship on the Nets? Should I drop everybody 3 weeks ago? I'm like, there's no reason for them to shut everybody down on March 1st. I don't believe they have their pick this year. They were still mathematically within striking distance of the play-in tournament. We're starting to get close now to the point where even if they don't have their own pick, it'll just be time to pull the plug because there's no reason to. Mikal Bridges is going to want to play in every ball game. That's his shtick. And Cam Thomas is going to want a chance to just go nuts. But at some point here, you're going to probably see Nick Claxton get a day off. You're going to see Schroeder get a day off, I would imagine. You're going to see Cam Johnson get some more days off, although he's missed a bunch this year, so maybe not. All that to say, a couple of players to keep an eye on. De'Ron Sharpe, who had 17 rebounds in this ballgame, but again, as long as Claxton is upright, you can't take that plunge. Keep an eye on Cam Johnson should everybody else take some days off, and he's like, I've missed enough time this year, I want to play. Keep an eye on Dennis Smith Jr. if Schroeder takes any time off, and that's probably about it. You're not making any moves on Brooklyn right now. This is an ugly, ugly loss again. They have no offense. They can play a little bit of defense when they try, but oof, that's a tough team to watch these days. So just keep one eye on those guys and kind of have them on the top of the could I add this guy board if the right other person took a week off. Dallas, from a Roto standpoint, Kyrie, Luka, Gafford. This is a rare off day for Luka. Easily his worst game of the season, but luckily we're so deep into the year that it doesn't really impact rankings all that much. He's firmly in that number five hole, pretty far behind Anthony Davis and a pretty good deal ahead of Kawhi Leonard from just an overall Z-score standpoint. Derek Lively is schedule level. Dante Exum is like kind of teetering on that. PJ Washington's schedule level. That's really all you get out of the rest of these two. So not much with the Mavs. Just nice to see them actually playing Gafford again these days. Hooray! For the Spurs, I'm officially upgrading Trey Jones back out of the doesn't matter group and back into the play him group. He's been warm lately. And, you know, this is the sports are a game of inches. Fantasy sports are also kind of a game of inches because Trey Jones kind of burst onto the scene when they finally let him start. I should rephrase that sentence. When they finally let him start games this year, he had a bunch of really good ones in a row. And then through February, he cooled, not the beginning of the month, more so like middle, end of February and into the beginning of March. He basically wasn't taking any shots. He went from taking 8 to 11 shots a ballgame to like 5 or 6 almost every night. Just completely abandoned ship on being a part of the offense. Over the last 4 ballgames now, 15, 6, 7, and 11. Again, you've got a 6 and a 7 mixed in there, which is not exactly what you want, but if you roll it all together, 2 out of 4 games in double figures in shot attempts, that's very important. He's also hit 9 three-pointers over those 4 ball games, which also feels wildly unsustainable, but I just like the fact that he's trying. Take some shots, Trey Jones. Take some, do anything at all on offense besides just handing the ball to someone else, which is what they needed earlier this year. Hey, be a point guard. And so it was like, oh, okay, assists and steals. Great. And field goal percent, but didn't hit any threes, wasn't involved in the offense. It's sort of like the good field goal percent was nice, but he wasn't taking enough shots for it to be worth anything. That's why we need Trey Jones up in that 8, 9, 10 shots range instead of 5, 6, 7. It makes all the difference. Last 30 days, Trey Jones is taking only 7 shots a game, by the way, and that still got him inside the top 80. Last 14 days, so last 2 weeks, he's now taking over 7 shots a game, and that has him inside the top 60. And over the last single week, which again, this is going to be pretty front-loaded, he's taking 8 shots a ball game, And that has him inside the top 50. So that's the magic of Trey Jones. Get him to 8 freaking shots a game, and he can be a difference-making fantasy player. Doesn't take that much, but the 5 or 6 shots per game just isn't going to do it. Because you need that field goal percent to be an actual impact category. And for that to be the case, he needs to actually take a few shots. Over the last 2 weeks, I moved off of that tab. Let me move back to that tab. Over the last 2 weeks, Trey Jones is averaging 11 points, almost 9 assists, and 1.5 steals per game. That's good. So play him. He's warm, whether he's warm or not. He's actually taking shots. That's what's important right now. So we officially have a third San Antonio Spur that you can play every day. And that's the other thing about that doesn't matter group that we talk about now, guys that just land in the 100 to 150 range. The doesn't matter guys, if you can isolate the ones that have the ability to maybe take a small step forward, those are the doesn't matter guys where you try harder to hang on to them. And then there's the doesn't matter guys where, like a Nick Richards, there's really no place for him to go forward. It's kind of no place for him to go back as long as nobody else comes to take those center minutes. So he's a true doesn't matter. Use Nick Richards only when you need his exact stats. Trey Jones is always kind of like a doesn't matter, but could it get better? And it has now for a little bit. I was late to upgrade him. I should have upgraded him, you know, 1 or 2 games back, but I wanted to be sure. So here you go. Otherwise, everybody on the Spurs, you know, if you want to play some of these guys when they have a good schedule, be my guest. But the three guys you're playing every day are obviously Wemby, Vassell, and now Trey Jones. Denver hasn't had a fantasy note this year, other than there was like a week where Reggie Jackson was filling in and he was actually good enough to be considered a fill-in. But on the Minnesota side, let's briefly pause here on the infirmed Timberwolves. They got a bunch of guys out these days. Minnesota, down Cat for the rest of the regular season, down Rudy Gobert, Monte Morris actually came back. He left the previous game, I think, but he came back in this one. Slow-mo had left the game recently and then came back. Right now, there are 5 Timberwolves playing starter-level minutes. Those 5, and it's going to find this hard to believe because you look at the box score and you wouldn't notice it, but Kyle Anderson, who played 26 minutes, you're like, 26, that's not right, Dan. He picked up 3 fouls in the first 3 minutes of yesterday's game. I think he played like a total of maybe 6 first-half minutes and played almost the entire second half. The goal was not to stop him at 25 and a half minutes. He was supposed to get 30, but fouls were a big-time issue early. So Anthony Edwards, duh, play him all the time. Mike Conley, duh, he's a play. But then you've got these other miscellaneous goofballs, like Nikhil Alexander-Walker, who had a couple of good ball games and then really pooped the bed in this one. Kyle Anderson, who's been not really involved on offense in his minutes this year for whatever reason. And then Jaden McDaniels, who hasn't been involved in the offense ever, is a brilliant perimeter defender, but needs a lot of people to get the hell out of the way for him to finally, like, actually go trust his shot a little bit. What do we do with those guys? Because those are sort of the 3 fringier fantasy players. Alexander Walker, you know, he'd been on a pretty good tear lately. And I think stipulation number 1 is we need Cat and Gobert to remain out. Okay? If either of those guys, I say either, but Cat's not coming back. If Gobert comes back in their next ball game, the whole play here gets blown up. They're, by the way, also down Naz Reid. Almost forgot to mention that. I was reminded when I looked down, I saw Luka Garza play 22 minutes. Naz Reid also out. So they're down 3 centers right now. And it's like, well, you only have so many centers on a roster, so everybody else gets to play up a spot. So Kyle Anderson was the starting center, which I guessed might happen on yesterday's podcast. I'm actually kind of surprised it did. He's a start. Kyle Anderson starting at a big man spot. Use him. Well, 3 centers are out for Minnesota. Jaden McDaniels. Start him while 3 centers are out. Because more than the 3 centers being out, the usage is in. I like to talk about everything going into a usage pool. There are X number of shots and passes that occur in an NBA game. And when you're a guy who doesn't generally get to do many of those, the guys in front of you going down, and sometimes guys, you know, sort of jump over you in the pecking order. But right now, 3 guys in front of Jaden McDaniels that typically took shots and did stuff are out of the way. And so he gets to do a couple. So start Jaden McDaniels right now. Start Kyle Anderson. Nikhil Alexander-Walker is a little bit more of a coin flip. I think he probably settles in that sort of doesn't matter chunk with a little bit of upside. If you catch him on a right night, you can get a bunch of assists, boards, threes, steals, blocks. You can do that across the board stuff. But if you catch him on a wrong night, like this one, usually sends a chill up your spine. So Nikhil Alexander-Walker, I don't know that I'd use him against the Games cap. I think Kyle Anderson, Jaden McDaniels, I would, provided all three centers remain out for the Timberwolves in their next ball game.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Mid-show reminder, a lot of you watching on social media these days, which is super cool. Thank you to the Twitter algorithm for making that possible. But hey, if you're watching and you just sort of stumbled onto this show, make sure to follow at Dan Besbris, DanBesbris, for those watching in any format. You can see the name right on your screen. And for those listening, please do navigate over and follow. I'm still doing a whole lot of stuff on Twitter, even now at the very end of the regular season. I'm trying to hang in there and do it every day until the very end. Indeed, also doing these two shows a day until the very end, if I can. Whew, working my tail off, so hopefully you guys can come find me there. Shout out to Manscaped.com. Very quick promo today. Ethos 20 to get 20% off and free shipping on your order at Manscaped.com. But more than anything, I want you guys to check out the links in the show description because you've got the Discord link in there. It's free. I do some of my tweet storms in Discord. Our baseball draft guide information is in the show description, so you guys can see what's available there. In fact, you can go to the baseball draft guide lander. That's free to look around, but if you try to click into any articles, obviously you'd have to be a subscriber. And there's one other thing I meant to promo and then I forgot. Ethos Leagues. Waitlists are officially open for all four major sports. If you want to be in a basketball league, hit me up on Twitter or here on YouTube or whatever, or email support@sportsethos.com. If you want to be in a football one, that's not too far away. Baseball leagues are starting right this second. We want to get a hockey league going this year. Make sure to hit us up about that. Also, we are looking for new contributors at sportsethos.com. So reach out if you're interested in making the jump and think you can hang on the analyst side. Quick look here at the chat room, see if anybody brought up some names that I didn't talk about on the show. What do you think between Walker Kessler and Santi Aldama? I like Kessler between those two guys. Brandon says, hello, chat. I got four players injured and two moves left for the week. How's everybody else's fantasy week going? Yeah, you're not alone, bud. I don't know if you guys watched one of our shows yesterday when my good friend Andre was posting. He was sort of making jokes about what he should do with Isaiah Stewart. He was talking about my team, actually. But in that league where he and I are playing each other, I think he's down. He's got two injuries already this week, and I think I've got two or three. I forget what. It's like five or six guys that have already been ruled out for the front half of the week. Tis a stupid time. And I know we said end your league 3 weeks early if you want to dodge the silly season, but it might have to be 4 weeks early next year because the silly season is very much upon us. And now you're even seeing the tanking teams that were already losing shutting additional people down. Luckily, we haven't gotten into the part where the teams that are at the top of the board are doing anything completely insane. Boston's had all these back-to-backs, and they're resting half of their guys in them, and that's a pain in the butt. Honestly, all of this is a reason to do two things. One, if you're in a head-to-head league, set a weekly games cap, so that way if guys skip a game here and there, it doesn't really matter all that much. You get your best opportunity. There's more strategy in it. You're not only trying to maximize games. Or two, just try Roto. People are like, oh, Roto's boring. No, it's not. Go win at Roto. I promise you, winning at Roto is not boring. If you're asking streaming questions in the chat room, I would encourage you to put those in our streaming show later on today. So I will not be answering those here on this morning show. Yeah, these are all streaming questions. Streaming. Mikal Bridges is a huge bust this year. Yeah, even kind of crazy, even by totals, still a bust. Yeah, that's kind of amazing, actually. The fact that a guy who plays in every single ball game is still not going to hit ADP. He's number 92. Just can't shoot. 43.5%. And his free throws were supposed to be higher. He's only at 81% there. Just an epic disaster. Disaster of a season for a guy drafted at the tail end of the second, early third. He's number 54 by total, so at least he's in the fifth round on that front. And playing every day is useful, but man, he's been tanking people's percentages all season long. I drafted him only in one spot because typically, you guys know me, I'm in Roto, and so at the end of the second round, I wasn't taking Bridges. I was taking Kawhi. That was my target in that spot, and I got a lot of Kawhi Leonards on my fantasy teams, and I am so grateful that's the direction I went there. Oof. Hey, Dan, Patrick Baldwin got in foul trouble early in the game. Does that change your mind? He's still a watch list guy. I'm still not adding him. Not until I know more on Kuz. It's a good question, though. Somebody bringing up, what do I do about, would I pick up Keon Ellis? This question is about Matisse Thybulle and if you're like hunting defensive stats, but instead of taking that exact question, I'll just talk about Keon Ellis. So head-to-headers, you guys know Sacramento's got a great schedule starting tonight. They start a 5-game and 7-day stretch, and we'll talk more about that on our other show later today. I do think that Ellis probably is a top 100 guy with Kevin Huerter out. He's going to play 28 plus minutes, meaning you probably get 3 defensive stats or more almost every day out of him. And then the hope is getting that number of minutes, you know, with guys that can get him open. Maybe he takes 4, 5, 6 shots a game instead of like 3 or 4. Just a couple extras. It's the same thing we just talked about with Trey Jones. 1 or 2 extra shots a game for these guys that live on the edge of fantasy value is so critical. And so I think Keon Ellis is a guy that maybe takes 1 or 2 extra shots. Sacramento is beat up right now. Not like hugely beat up, but like no Trey Lyles as a reserve role. No Kevin Huerter. There's just a few extra shots there, and I'm hoping that Ellis takes 1 or 2 of those. That would then push him into a place where you're like, yes, this is actually kind of an exciting start. Here's a Roto question. I'll answer this one. Good from Albert. Is it a strategy to save some game caps for possible silly season hero performances? Think Jalen Horde a few seasons back. I'm going to say softly no, but let me get into the strategy of this just for 1 or 2 minutes, and then we'll pause all of our other thoughts until we get to the streaming show in the afternoon. Again, if you're asking streaming questions, please come back for our second show today. Make sure you subscribe so you know when that second show is happening, and that way you can come catch it live as well. The reason I don't save moves in sort of like the saving sense for silly season hero performances is because your starters are going to miss games that you can then just quickly fill in with the silly season guys. So you don't need to create an opening for those dudes. The opening's just going to happen. If you're running basically parallel with the game's cap, when I say that, I mean like right now, if you look at the bottom of a Yahoo team page, it'll tell you how they expect you to do against the game's cap. Like, are you right on it? Are you running ahead? Are you running behind? Sort of like, are you running hot or cold on that thing? If you're running right on it, that's the perfect place to be right now with 3 weeks left in the season. You don't want to be too far behind because it's going to be hard to catch up soon when half of your players stop playing. And you don't want to be running too far ahead for this very reason, but also because if you're running parallel, you can start to attack specific categories better than if you've already used up your games cap. Someone else can attack categories and try to pass you. So right now you want to be pretty close to right on point, because between now and the end of the regular season, your regulars are going to miss a couple of ball games, whether it's one, two, whatever, non-zero number for almost all of your regulars. And that is where you take the silly season guys, plug them into those holes immediately, you stay right online to fill your games cap, and you get to use the silly season heroes sort of in the moment. It's a quick thing. Your starter's out, silly season starter's in. If you're running behind, your silly season guys are going to have to replace your starters, and you're going to need clunkier guys to fill in the games that you were falling behind. Hopefully that made sense. Thanks again, everybody, for watching this first of our two shows today. We'll be back. This time, it'll be right after lunch. I'm not doing them back-to-back today. I ran a little late. I had some other stuff I had to take care of in the morning. Again, put all of your streaming questions in our afternoon show. We will hit them. We're going to get to all those players. We got a lot to cover in that one because the streaming gets a little bit easier today after yesterday was a real, you know, F you to streamers. Again, follow on Twitter at Dan Bespris. Go to sportsethos.com. Check out all the amazing stuff we've got going on over there. Please do continue to help us grow the site with shares, with likes, with subscriptions, with ratings, all that good stuff. It means the world to me personally. Every day I see this thing grow, I feel happy. I'm Dan Bespris. I'll talk to you guys in about 2 hours.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.